scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the first book of Kings, chapter 17, beginning with the 7th verse. This is our first lesson for today, this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Dear friends in Christ, the last couple years, the droughts going on in the West, especially in California, has been big news. Right now, about 40% of California sits in what experts call an exceptional drought, the worst classification of drought nowadays. That means that there is a widespread crop loss and pasture loss, and because of low amounts of waters and ravines and rivers and lakes and reservoirs, wells, there is a great water emergency. Now, it is true, because of this year's El Nino, things are looking a lot better than they did just a few months ago. More rain has fallen. The snowpack in the Sierra Nevada is looking promising. There is a lake, Folsom Lake, right outside of Sacramento, that supplies water for almost 1 million people. This fall, it was at 14% capacity. And now, because of the rain they've received, it's about at 42% capacity. So things are looking better. And yet, if rain doesn't continue to fall until April, they will probably enter their dry season this summer, still in some sort of drought. Our text for today takes place in the middle of a drought. By the time that Elijah goes up to Zarephath, there had been no rain for quite some time. In fact, in all, God did not send a single drop of rain or dew upon the land for 3.5 years. No precipitation whatsoever for 3.5 years. Now, as bad as things are in California, the Los Angeles area this past rainy season still received 8.5 inches of rain. This famine going on at Elijah's time, far more severe and catastrophic. But during this time, God wanted to save his prophet Elijah. So first, God sent him to the Kereth Ravine, a small tributary, a brook really, that flows into the Jordan River on the east side. There Elijah stayed, drinking from this brook. And twice a day, God sent ravens to Elijah with food in their mouths so that he can have something to eat. And there God kept Elijah safe, and God kept Elijah alive. But eventually, over time, because there's no rain in the land, the brook ran dry. So then God sent Elijah to Zarephath. Northwest. Zarephath sat on the Mediterranean Sea in the country of Phoenicia, south of the major city of Sidon. There was a widow there that God was going to use to keep Elijah alive. So Elijah made the trek north and west to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, why would God send such a horrible and catastrophic drought to the land? Why no rain for 3.5 years to the promised land, to the land of his people? Well, because the people had ceased being his people. They had rejected the Lord. They had rejected his word. They wanted nothing to do with God anymore. They went after the false gods of the people around them and started worshiping idols. They had a wicked king, Ahab, and his even more wicked queen, Jezebel, and they led the people in the worship of Baal and Baal's sister/wife, Asherah. The worship of such false gods consisted in having ritual orgies together. It was this disgusting, wicked religion that became the predominant religion in the land of God's people. We saw in our second lesson that things got so bad that the prophet Elijah once thought that he was the only believer left in all the land. Now, as it turns out, God had kept 7,000 believers. But 7,000 out of millions of people. As a whole, the nation of Israel, God's people, had rejected him. They failed to listen to his word. So God punished them. He sent them that famine. He sent them that drought and sent no rain upon the land for 3.5 years. Now, of course, we know that the Israelites were in the wrong for rejecting God, and they deserved the punishment that God sent upon them. But we may not often realize is that we often act, or we may act, like those Israelites from time to time. Not that we openly reject God in favor of false gods. And it often happens when we fail to listen to God's word as we should. We become too busy in this life and God's word gets pushed to the back burner. Or it may happen that you have good intentions of paying attention to your devotion or to worship, but then something pops up in your mind and you read or you listen, and then all of a sudden the pastor says amen, and then you realize you didn't pay attention the whole time. We hear, but we don't listen. Or it could happen that we, instead of listening to God's word through the ears of faith, we listen to God's word with the ears of skepticism and doubt and the presuppositions of our sinful nature. We listen to what other people say about God instead of what God says about himself. We begin to pay attention to what society says is right or wrong instead of what God says is right or wrong. Instead of making logic and reason a servant of the word, we make it a master over the word. And so if something doesn't make sense, if something doesn't go along with what society says or what science says is right, then we reject it. We reject God's word then in favor of the popular opinion of the day. About 100 years after the prophet Elijah, there is another prophet who preached in the same land by the name of Amos. And he warned the Israelites what would happen if they continued to reject the Lord and fail to listen to his word. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. God punishes those who refuse to listen to his word by removing the word from them. Now the gospel, God's word, is often compared to a rain cloud. A rain cloud will water a land for a while until moving on and watering another portion of the land. We've seen this play out throughout history. Israel and the Middle East were the first to have the gospel. And then it spread from there. By the time of the Reformation and after the Reformation, it was Europe who predominantly had the gospel. And then when people from Europe came over to North America, North America had the gospel. But those lands are drying up. You'd be hard-pressed to find a good number of Christians in the Middle East nowadays. The large cathedrals of Europe now sit mostly empty on Sunday mornings. You can take a look at our society around us today and realize that we live in a society that is increasingly caring less and less about God's word. That we become more and bold in our sins and our wickedness and rebelling against God and his word. We're increasingly becoming a secular society. It may be that the gospel is going to move on to other lands and water those. For instance, the number of Christians in North America is going down, while the number of Christians in Africa now is going back up. God often will water a land until the gospel's rains are rejected, and the rains of the gospel shower down blessings upon another land. When Elijah got to Zarephath, he saw a widow there by the city gate gathering sticks. So he asked the widow to get him a drink of water. Not a small request in the middle of a major drought. But she went to get him the water anyway. And as she was going, he called out to her, and bring me back some bread too. But the problem is, she didn't really have anything to give him. She said, I only have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil left, and I'm going to use these sticks to start a fire and make some bread for the last meal for me and my son, and then eventually we are going to starve to death. Elijah told her, don't be afraid. For the Lord promises that if you make me some bread first, that he was going to make sure that the oil and the flour would never run out. So that's exactly what the widow did. The widow believed God's word through the prophet Elijah. She made him some bread first, and the oil and the flour never ran out. God miraculously kept the oil and flour going, and Elijah stayed with that widow, and for the rest of the famine, God kept Elijah, the widow, and her son alive. Again, we mentioned that Zarephath was not in Israel, but near Sidon. The widow and her son were not Jews. They're Gentiles. Jesus makes this point in his preaching in Nazareth, in our gospel for today. The people of Israel rejected the Lord. So the Lord refused to send rain upon them. And when he wanted to save somebody by saving his prophet Elijah, he didn't send Elijah to any one of the Jews. No, the gospel was sent and he saved a Gentile. In the same way, the people of Nazareth rejected the Lord and refused to listen to his word. And so then Jesus sent the gospel to Capernaum and other cities around Galilee. And the same was going to happen to the Jews. The Jews who would continue to reject the gospel, then the gospel would go on and shower, rain down blessings upon the Gentile lands. And that's how gracious our Lord is. Now he graciously decided to save the widow of Zarephath and her son, not because of what she did, not because of who she was, but simply out of his grace. And it is this same grace that leads Jesus to save us. Not necessarily from a famine, not necessarily from a drought, not saving us really from physical and earthly needs, but much more importantly, his grace moves him to save us from the eternal punishment that we deserve, to save us from our own sins. And as far as I know, we're all Gentiles here. Not one of us is part of God's chosen nation. And yet God showered his gospel blessings upon us. Showered his love and brought us to faith through the gospel. And for the time being, we still have that gospel. God still sends the showers of the gospel upon us. We have access to his word. We have access to the gospel whenever we want it. In many different formats. Whether it's a hard-covered Bible like the ones we have in the pews, or your favorite dog-eared Bible with all the notes you have, a good devotional book you have at home. You can access the Bible on your computer or through countless numbers of apps. You can get it an audio format or video format. We have the Bible, we have God's Word readily available to us in many different ways, a blessing that he has not given to any other generation. We still have the gospel at Holy Cross. We still have the gospel in the wells. We have not turned to man-made doctrines. We have not succumbed to the pressures of society. We have not traded in the good news of salvation for Jesus Christ for what people call the social gospel. That is, caring more about the physical needs of others than the spiritual needs of all people. No, we still have the gospel. And so do you. You still have the good news of Jesus Christ. That the forgiveness of sins has been paid for by Christ's suffering and death on the cross. And that on the cross, He took your sins upon Himself and suffered the eternal punishment that you deserve. And as a result, God no longer looks upon you as a sinner, but He declares you not guilty. And that by His resurrection from the dead, you too will rise from the dead, and through faith you will join Him with a perfect life, sharing in His glory forever. This is a gift from God. A remnant you are, chosen by grace. Brought to faith in the gospel. And that same gospel the Holy Spirit uses to increase your knowledge and increase your faith in Him. You still have the gospel. Through this gospel, God showers His blessings of salvation upon you. Follow the example of the widow of Zarephath and believe it. Believe what the Lord says to you. Listen through the ears of faith. Study it. Treasure it. Don't let the gospel showers rain down upon someone else because you've rejected it. Don't let the gospel remove from this area, from this congregation, but make use of the worship and Bible class opportunities that we have here, as you are doing right now. Now, it may seem as we look around society that the gospel's waters are going to move on to other places, to other countries. And yet, by grace, the Lord still showers His blessings of the gospel upon us. Let us then treasure that word and do what we can to lead others to treasure that word, that they may have the gospel's blessings shower upon them. And the gospel works. God promises us that through His prophet Isaiah, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is My word that does not go out from My mouth, that goes out from My mouth. It will not return to Me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The waters of the gospel rain down blessings upon the earth. Through it, seeds are planted and the Holy Spirit works through that gospel, brings to faith, and increases that faith. So we not only want to treasure that word and believe it, but we want to share that word with others that His blessings may shower down upon others. And we do all we can to share that word not only here, not only in our community, but throughout the world. So that all people of all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike, may join us as the remnant saved by God's grace. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.